Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your place then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
There are many today who are going through difficult times, and you may be one of those people. It may be something concerning a marriage, maybe something concerning finances, maybe something concerning a child, maybe it's health. You're having a problem. But let me say today, I'd like to encourage you as we look into the Word of God. Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 6, talks about help. Yeah, you may be fighting a battle today, and many of us are, but I'd like to give you a word of encouragement today by telling you that there is hope. In Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 6, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Well, you know, we may not be able to sing and keep a tune. I may not be able to sing and keep a tune when I'm singing. People may not enjoy hearing me sing, but when I do sing, I'm singing to the Lord. I'm singing the hymns, the gospel hymns. And when I sing those hymns out, when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, or when I'm by myself, nobody else is around but me and the Lord, I'm singing to the Lord. And you know, I don't want to be embarrassed or anything. I don't want to embarrass the Lord. But when I sing, I'm singing to him. And that's the way we need to be. The things that we need to do as unto the Lord. Now, the verses we've read, Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6, there seems to be a picture of battle being portrayed in this psalm. It seems that David is in a difficult situation in these verses, and still yet, it also seems very clear from reading these verses that even in the midst of the battles he's fighting, David still has hope. And you know, hope is a powerful thing. One person has said this, "There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow." Martin Luther said this, "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope." Well, the dictionary describes hope as to have a wish to get or to do something or for something to happen or to be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. You see, hope from the world's viewpoint is just what that definition describes. The world sees hope as a wish or a desire. Hope for the world is a longing for something that may or may not take place. But the Bible teaches us a vastly different definition of hope. Jeremiah said this, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. Paul the Apostle said this, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says that. Well, the world says that hope is merely a fond wish or desire. But the words used for hope in the Bible tell a different story. They teach us that hope is deep, settled confidence that God will keep His promises. I know you have battles, problems of life, but do you have hope? Are you resting in the sure confidence that God will do just as He promised He would? That's the essence of hope, and hope is a possession we all need to be sure we own in large quantities. I want us to look at this psalm today that we've read for a while, and I want you to know that in the midst of your battles, there's hope. I want you to know from the words of David why you and I have reason to hope in the Lord. Walk with me now in the Bible to see where our hope comes from and what that hope will accomplish in our lives. First, I see that our confidence in the Lord provides hope. David speaks of this in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. And David had a personal hope, a personal faith in the Lord. David begins his psalm of hope by declaring his personal faith in the Lord. And notice the threefold use of the word my in verse 1. David tells us that he has a personal relationship with God and that he has confidence of the person of the Lord. This is the basic foundation for hope. He tells us that God is his light, his salvation, and his strength. There's a tremendous blessing in these three titles attributed to our God. Notice Psalm 27 and verse 1 once again. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" As light, God delivers his people from darkness. It says in the Bible, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. As light, God guides our steps according to the Word of God. As salvation, God delivers his people from damnation. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John chapter 5, verse 24. As salvation, God secures our souls. John chapter 6 and verse 37 says this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." John chapter 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." God is our salvation. As we look on, we see a strength God delivers his people from defeat. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. As strength, God guarantees our success. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Through all of our battles, through anything in our lives, he has made us more than conquerors through him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now notice that these three great characteristics that I've just mentioned, I hope you didn't miss it, that I've just mentioned these three things just now, serve to give us hope even in the midst of battle. Because of who our God is, we need not fear any enemy that should rise against us. Satan himself is no match for our sovereign God. Now I want you to notice something else. There is confidence in what God and what the Lord has done for us, according to Psalm 27, verses 2 through 3, where it says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies," David says, "and my foes come up on me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." David declares that his present hope in the Lord rests upon that which the Lord has done for him in the past. God did not fail him then, and he will not fail his child today. As we look at this, the same confidence is ours today. The God we serve is unchangeable. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." And of course, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says this, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and today and forever." He is the same God with the same power that he has always been. He has never and will never change. Because he has been faithful in the past, we can count on him being faithful now. Think of all the things he's done. The victory he has won. The enemies he has vanquished. The mountains he has moved. The victories he has won. Think on these things and remember that the God who performed countless wonders in the past is still that same God today, and that should give his people hope. Notice this. Not only does our confidence in the Lord provide hope, our commitment to the Lord provides hope. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Not only does living with our faith give us hope, but also living faithful to our Lord gives us a standard of hope that cannot otherwise exist. David mentions three goals in verse 4. These three goals all occur from a single commitment to serve the Lord faithfully from a heart of love. Notice how David's commitment to the Lord manifests itself. First, I see that David is committed to lingering near the Lord, according to Psalm 27 and verse 4. David wants to spend his entire life in the house of the Lord. He wants to be in the place where the Lord dwells and where the Lord's presence is real. And this is the theme of David, and it's repeated in Psalm chapter 84 and verses 1 through 4, where it says, "How amiable or pleasant are my tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." And later on, read those verses if you would. That's Psalm 27 and verse 4, and then Psalm 84 verses 1 through 4. Read those later on. But in Psalm 84 verses 1 through 4, David envies the little birds that make their nests around the tabernacle. They can be near the house of God all the time, while David cannot. He has the desire to be where God is, to be in that place where God is worshiped and honored. That is his heartbeat, and we ought to have that desire as well. We need that same passion to be where the Lord is honored and where he is worshiped. And of course, we have the church, and we are commanded to be in attendance according to Hebrews 10:25. We need to be close to the Lord. We need to be close to his people. And I ask you today, do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? You can have hope today by trusting in him. "Lord, I know I cannot save myself. Please come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior." If you'll pray a prayer like that, mean it in your heart, God says he will save you through Jesus Christ today. It's all through the Lord. Jesus Christ wants to save you. He wants you to come to him, faith believing that he is able and willing to save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.